This week on Morning Edition, we're looking at some of the key lessons from the efforts to overhaul healthcare in Massachusetts. It's a topic of national importance because the proposal making its way through Congress is modeled in part on the Massachusetts law. We heard yesterday about the financial challenges for patients and hospitals since that law was enacted in 2006. Today, WBUR Boston's Sasha Pfeiffer and WFCR's Karen Brown look at another key aspect of reform, access to care.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Sasha.
So yesterday we talked about healthcare affordability. Today let's talk about healthcare access. Just because most people in Massachusetts now have health insurance, does that mean they all have access to care? A guy like Mark Rukavina says the answer to that is definitely no. He heads a Boston nonprofit called the Access Project.
As the cost of health care has continued to climb, employers that are trying to maintain coverage for their workers have often been left with little choice but to increase the cost sharing for their employees.
So in this case, cost sharing refers to how much you pay for your health insurance versus how much your employer pays. And one thing listeners may not realize is this. If you can't afford your employer's health plan, then you're stuck. You're automatically disqualified from the state's subsidized plan.
Yes, and Rukavina's nonprofit hears from many Massachusetts folks who now have health coverage, but they say they can barely afford that coverage on top of their credit card bills and mortgages and other expenses.
What we're seeing is increasing copayments that in the past had been, you know, anywhere from $5 to $25 or $35. We're now seeing copayments of $50, $100, even $250 in some cases.
And copays like that can really sting. But there's an argument you hear from people like Brian Rossman at the organization Healthcare for All. He says it's better to pay now for preventative care than to pay later.
Catching a problem early is so much cheaper than letting medical problems linger and turn into big medical crises. If we can do that for more people, we will save costs for the system. It's been shown again and again.
And, Sasha, at least in theory, getting everyone insured, the sick and the healthy, should drive down premiums. That's because when healthy people pay into the system, they use fewer services, and the cost burden is shared more widely. But so far, premiums haven't gone down. They're still going up.
True, and Rossman agrees that that's a problem. He's actually proposing legislation on a national level that would eliminate copays for preventative care. Do you have a sense, Karen, that that would improve access to care in western Massachusetts?
Well, I'm sure it would help as far as paying for visits. But in the western part of the state, we have a problem that I don't think is felt as much in the Boston area, and that's a shortage of providers. Most of the doctors and hospital administrators that I've talked to out here think the state ramped up demand for medical care by helping people get insurance without making sure there was enough supply of doctors.
How many more people in Massachusetts now have health insurance thanks to state health reform? Is it about 400,000?
You know, it's probably even more than that. And many of those people understandably expect to get in to see a doctor, especially if they're now paying premiums that they didn't before.
Right, because for a lot of those people, I imagine, this is their chance to finally get some basic health care they may have been putting off due to high cost.
Right. But the number of primary care doctors is actually going down. And this seems to be a bigger problem in western Massachusetts, which is more rural and has fewer primary care doctors per capita. Dr. Kate Atkinson of Amherst told me that her practice was already stretched thin before health reform. Ever since the law took effect, she's been overwhelmed. She's even had to close her practice to new patients.
There was really just a flood of patients who needed doctors, and these are people that take a lot of time. And the reimbursement is less. But that's not why we closed. It was really just that we didn't have enough people here to see all the patients who needed to be seen.
That's a problem we also see in the Boston area. Primary care doctors refusing to take new patients and really long wait times for an appointment. Of course, a lot of that existed before health reform.
You know, that's true. But one question is, should health reform try to fix those problems, or has it actually exacerbated them? Dr. Jacqueline Spain is a medical director at the Holyoke Health Center, which has a four-month waiting list for new patients. And that's much longer than it was before the health law.
I think what we really need to do is increase the pool of primary care providers and let us spend more time with our patients. So yes, I worry a lot that people are taking their precious family dollars, of which there are never enough, using it to purchase health care, and then not able to really access good health care.
An example of this is Revan Schendler. She's a Northampton writer I met, and she's someone you'd think would be delighted by health reform. Her income is about $15,000 a year, which qualifies her for the subsidized insurance from the state. But while she appreciates knowing that she's covered for catastrophic events, she's barely used her new insurance card, and that's even though she has a longtime primary care doctor.
I mean, when I first went to my doctor, I was able to have an hour appointment with him, and it really made sense. Now, I have to wait 4 months to see him for 15 minutes. I'd rather not see him.
So basically, Karen, even if this sort of provider crunch is not a result of health reform, it is a reminder that access to insurance is not the same as access to care.
Right, Sasha. And that's a dilemma they'll have to deal with in Washington as well.
That report from WFCR's Karen Brown and WBUR's Sasha Pfeiffer.